The thing is too big. Wait a minute. Peace, family. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight. It's wonderful. I'm here because of Jim Jones. Jim Jones took me and my four children and gave us a home when we had roaming around for 13 years. No place, nothing, not gonna know what we're gonna do next or where we're gonna live. Well, I guess it's gonna have to be that big. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. There is no one else in the world that cares for us like Jim Jones. Nowhere. No one. The caring that you don't even see. I think some of you haven't even been to the valley to even get a glimpse of his caring. But the character he has and the love that he has, if you could see the love that he has for animals and plants and even weeds, you would see what he has for you. You can imagine the love he has for you. And he works constantly. And all you have to do is follow his teachings. Be good. And he will mentally take care of everything. Just think on what you need taken care of. And it's taken care of. There's nowhere, no one like our Pastor Jim Jones. No one in the world like him. No one at all. I'm so grateful. I love you, family. Thank you very much.
Peace, everyone. I just want to tell you of a wonderful miracle that happened right here in choir while we were singing. I don't know if you can see them, but there's lights all up and down the stage here. And while we were singing, one of them exploded, and their sharp pieces of glass flew all over the choir, and not one person was hit. The glass is so sharp, and not one person was stirred. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Now just think about that. Once you stand and praise your God and give thanks, he looks out after you. And you know, we've been told once before, What we visualize, Jim Jones can materialize. And if we let him take over, if we become clay in his hands, he will mold and shape and develop us. But when we praise, things happen about us. That's something to think about. When our level of consciousness is raised, glass can explode on our heads. And Jim Jones is there to make sure nothing happens. I think we have a mighty, mighty rock. I think we have a rock. Father.
My name's Georgie Ambrady and I'm from Red Valley, California. I would like to thank our Uncle Jim because I think it was yesterday. Our goat got out of the pen and we had to stay in the house because she would buck us. We were looking out the window and the window was open and it slammed on my finger. And my finger was in there about 2 minutes till someone came and opened the window. And when it happened, you could see part of my blood vein. And I would like to thank our Father because my finger could have been sliced right off.
Yes, yes, yes. From the mouth of babes. Peace, everybody. I want to tell you of another miracle that happened this week that was equally beautiful. Tuesday night, I was at the Project Center in Redwood Valley working, and somebody came and knocked on the door really urgent-like, and they said, Rick Purifoy has his finger caught in the conveyor belt, and they can't get it out. We said, we're thinking that we're going to have to cut it out. Yeah, I thought, my God, what's happening? So I ran next door, and people were running around trying to figure out, trying to get scissors to do this and everything else, And while we were doing this, he had pulled it. There was a gas pump out there that he'd been working on. He was trying to turn the gas pump off. And as he was turning it off, it got caught in a conveyor belt, and his finger was up to his first knuckle. And it was smashed. And when he pulled it out, when he finally got it out, his finger was completely, it was just pinched, like it was ready to fall off.
It was totally smashed, completely smashed. It was ready to fall off. There was no, in fact, there was, when the last time we saw him, there was no hope whatsoever for him even to keep his finger on, outside of Jim Jones, of course, but with Jim Jones, there's always hope, because he is hope. So we made a phone call down to the church and told him to expect him and to get him on to the hospital. I went back to my office, and the phone rang, and I said hello, and it was Jim Jones. And he asked me what was going on and what was the situation with the accident. Was it all right? And I explained to him that Rick had gotten his finger out and he had just taken off in his car. Nobody had a chance to talk with him or anything. And he said, all right, well, and he explained the pain that he was in. But he said, don't worry about it, because I'll take care of it. And I walked outside, and it wasn't until I walked outside that I realized nobody had had the chance to call Jim Jones. Nobody had called him and told him that his finger was caught in a conveyor belt. Somebody did afterwards. Somebody called Jim Jones after he had called the office. He had already called the office and said, I understand there's problems down there. Can I take care of it? And 5 minutes later, somebody called up and said, Jim, this man's going to have to lose his finger. He already said, I'm going to take care of it. We don't have to call on him. He knows. He had called the office. Later on, I went to the switchboard operator, and I said, you know, that was Jim that called in on the line? And she said, what line? Because that line was dead. She had not plugged in the switchboard. That was a dead telephone that he called in on, people. But it wasn't even hooked up. It was dead completely. There was no way he could have talked to me. I'll let Rick finish telling you what happened.
My God!
Peace, everybody. I'm Rick Purefoy. And I was down there, and my finger was caught in there. It was misery. Let me tell you, I called for Jim. And it was a miracle how my finger was smashed. And I tell you, I thank Father for what he did for me. We went down to the hospital. And before we went to the hospital, my finger was just demolished and totally smashed. And there was nothing left of it. There was no way I could have kept it. But when I got to the hospital, it was perfect and normal. And nobody around here can do that except for our God, Jim Jones. That's right, people. There's nobody around here. There's nobody around here that you'll find who has so much love over one little finger. But Jim Jones sure does. So I thank Father. Thank you.
Peace, everyone. It is again indeed a pleasure to be here this evening. Over 3 years ago, when I was sent home to die, Pastor John healed me. But here, what I want to say, what a miracle happened to me about 2 weeks ago. I was on my way to Los Angeles, and I cried so much. I didn't know what was wrong. I couldn't even get my clothes on. And when I got to the airport, I usually get a wheelchair because I can't walk too far. And you know, when you go through that gate, the security guard, they examine you. It's not like the one down here. They have all kinds of tools and ammunition. And when he attempted to examine me, to search me, I had this picture in my bosom, Jim Jones' picture, because my chest had been hurting, because I had cried so hard. Every time he tried to put his hand on me, that dog would almost cut his throat. He told the man that was rolling me around, he said, I don't know what's wrong. He says, it's only a compact you have in a pocket, but I had this picture in my bosom. I didn't know what was wrong. And then he said, let me try you again. I say, if you wish to, I'll pull my dress off. He never could put his hands in my purse. He never could examine me because this dog would not let him.
He's worthy to be praised. Oh, yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh, to his name. Because he's got God in our midst now, Chivalry. Oh, yes, it is. He's wonderful to praise his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank him tonight. Because he's good to me, Chivalry. Oh, yes, he is. Everything I undertake, he be there. I was to the doctor last Wednesday. And the doctor took examination of me. He said, you is all right. You don't have to come back under 6 weeks. He asked me one time, is Jim going to take you from me? Yes, he did. I said, well, he said you was a good doctor. He said, well, that's good. Yeah. He's all right, children. Oh, yes, he is. Because sometimes, I just tell it like it is, sometimes he says some little things upset me, but he's all right. I don't want no other God but him. He's the only one I calls on when I need him. He's right there. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. I'm asking me to sing. He's getting us ready for that great day. Well, I know he is. I could tell how that president was talking today. And I know he's getting us ready for that great day. Because of the great day coming, children. My God, getting us ready for that great day. Mm-hmm.
We will receive our offering at this time, our commitments. Get out of life what we put into it. Nothing's going to be handed on a silver platter. If we give generously, all the parables of every world religion says we will reap then we will reap generously. If we give sparingly, we reap sparingly. We must think about what we have to do. Do you know what we have to do? Do you? You remember what we were talking about on Wednesday? What we've been talking about, we have to do to prepare ourselves for things that are ahead. Now this offering, each one is to put everything in your envelope that you intend to give. I wish to see these envelopes. There was no other offering taken a while ago, and there will be no other offering for good members taken hereafter. We are separating the loyal from the non-committed. Now now's the time if you want to put down what you want to put down. Each envelope, after the treasurers have taken the funds out of it, will be turned in. Any pledge that you can make, if it's $1,000 or if it's $500 or it's $100, put it down. I will look at each envelope personally. The miracles that happened this week, the young man you heard where they said they were going to have to cut his hand out. And I had already called even beforehand and spoke to Tim Carter. I wasn't even aware of the time span of it. But I had told him there was nothing to worry about. Then we got a call saying that they were going to have to cut his hand off. And I said to the people present, no, they won't have to do that. Won't have to do that. And his hand is all right tonight, walking around here, helping and assisting. There he is right on the front row. Hand perfectly normal. Right on the front row, that young boy. Miracles like that come from giving generously. I mean that. If you give of yourself generously, you'll save yourself. Hold back, and everything will be held back from you. Now this is it. This is separation time. Our whole service has been changed tonight. So please take cognizance, take warning. Put down everything you can in an envelope of what you will do at this very moment. 1 minute, if you have need of help in being assisted to write, don't hesitate. Someone will gladly come and help you. Some of the best thinkers in this world can't read nor write. So don't hesitate to ask for anyone to help you. The need is very great. In 1 minute, we'll collect our envelopes. Always remember to be as worshipful as possible in your offering. Every member, every person who wants to be a member, take seriously what I just said. Each envelope will be looked at in the most special way that I have ever looked at an envelope. So tell them in the halls and the vestibules what they need to do. 30 more seconds. We don't want to take away from people's health by spending any more time. 15 seconds, please. Be sure each of these envelopes are bound together tonight. I want to see every one of them. What you're pledging, what you're putting in cash. Of course, I don't handle the money, but after the money is removed, now's the time to turn them in. Turn them in quickly. If you don't want to participate, that's all right. If you can't, we understand. But if you can, be sure you do. Be very generous to help. They won't. That's where our help's going to come from you that are here in the Bay, in the Valley, that are faithful. So please assist with whatever you can do right now. There are some people here that will be slated to have extreme tragedy in the next few hours. It's important that you clear up anything that's in your channel. That's why we're heavy. The house was filled on Wednesday. It was a glory trip. People past cancers, delivered of cancers, crippling conditions, everything imaginable. It was a glory trip, a jubilee. But tonight it's serious because I already see things and I don't want them to happen. Anyone have any question about anything that we stand for? Or any point of information that you need about our teachings? Then you travel on your own time. This is your chance to clear up any question you have. Any root of bitterness, any problem, any obstacle in relating fully. This is your chance. Let nothing come between you and your Savior. Fifteen seconds will tell you whether you have anything or not. 15 more seconds to decide. 10 seconds. If anyone has any question, you better decide it very quickly. 5 seconds. No one else will be on the floor after that. That's it. The ones that are on the floor already. Sister there.
Father, I think of principle as a recipe, like. Am I right in thinking that way?
A principle?
Yes.
Is a recipe?
Yes. Just like a formula or a recipe, something to go by.
In a great measure, yes. In a great measure, principle. God is principle. Principle is love. Love is apostolic communalism, where there is total equality. There are no barriers. In the family of God or Christ, Christ I prefer to say, meaning the revolutionary, the anointed one. Because God has no meaning without Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope must be in us. So Christ is a state of mind, a state of consciousness. Now many say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This means nothing at all in terms of literalism. A father who would sacrifice his son for reprobates, evildoers, would be less than love. What was actually the case, and has to be the case, a Savior, our God, a God, must come himself. And Jesus bore that out when he said, I have come in my own name? No, I have come in my Father's name. When you see me, you have seen the ultimate of good, or the Father. I and the Father are one. We see it, of course, as principle just being the highest source of good, or the highest attainment of good. Our own point of view is that we have been visited from higher dimensions. Paul called them third heavens. He was carried away to the third heaven once in a vision. Or we say extraplanetary realms. We have been visited from time to time by saviors from outer space. we see all over the planet today, mentioning of unidentified flying objects. It has even been said on the great body of scientific study that the Ark of the Covenant was a monitoring device from some spaceship outside, because when people touched it, they died from some electronic power, and it would speak to the people, and the people worshipped it in Jeremiah's day, or in Joshua's day. They rent their clothes before that Ark of the Covenant. Then it disappeared. It was lifted, and Jeremiah said, "We will remember the Ark of the Covenant no more." But wherever principle speaks, it's not important. Principle speaks on a lower plane. Farther you go back in history, Jesus said, "These things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father." So we're living in a greater time of compassion, a greater time of love, a greater time of miracles. And there are no such things as miracles, only supernormal, supranatural, above what we consider to be natural. But it's a pretty good point you make. Principle is a recipe. The recipe today is total racial, social, and economic equality. The way to that recipe is love, but you have to define love. Some people think love means sex. That's the farthest thing from love. There's nothing farther from love than sex. Sex is animalism. Sex is sensuality. Sex is narcissism. I'm not knocking it, but there's no love in it. There's no love in sex because people are seeking to be mirrored in the partner that they're identifying with in sex. They want someone to tell them how good a lover they are. And if they're not told how good a lover they are by a lot of emotional sounds or word verbalizing, they can't make love. Particularly the man who is affected because his organ has to be erect. And if the party that he's dealing with is unresponsive, then he says he can't make love. But indeed, if you're making love, your composure and your spiritual and physical stature or erection won't depend upon what your partner wishes, or says rather. What they wish, yes, but not what they say. So this stuff called love out in the world is the farthest thing from love that I've ever seen. Because love gives. Love sacrifices. Love does what the other person needs. Indeed, that might be physical, but 99% of the time it would be something far different, far, far different than a biological cohabitation. So this love has to be defined today. And how do we define love? Some call it socialism. That's been badly abused by Nazi Germany. They call them Nazi National Socialists. Well, they're anything but socialist. Hitler was a fascist. He had a warlord council of the upper echelons of the rich. So there was no socialism at all, unless it was that all the poor workers had to fight on common ground. But the rich had no socialism. So the word socialism has been badly abused. The word communism has been badly abused. But on the day of Pentecost, they had all things in common. Perhaps we should call it communism or communalism. You have to share. You have to think of your brother or your sister above yourself. You give your life and then you find it. That's the goal we're working towards. No one's achieved it that I know that are serving in this ministry. I know no one that's achieved it. But it's the goal to be selfless. Jesus said, deny yourself. Buddha said, nirvana. Complete self-death, to where you identify with the cosmos. You become identified with others. You infuse with other people's lives. But Jesus taught the same thing. Buddha taught the same thing. Krishna taught the same thing. All the great world religions taught the same. And even the political scientists of the highest order have taught the same thing. Lose your life in service to others. So that is a recipe indeed. And it's a formula for living. And you have to begin in every little way. Thoughtful little ways. I don't think that we think enough of the little ways. We will take the first seat on the aisle and make people tromp across us. Lots of ways that we don't think. But it's constant vigilant effort to think. A moment ago I came in and found my microphone ill-prepared. Many times I've asked for liquids be prepared, microphone be prepared, because I have to be the instrument of people's health. If I don't say the right thing tonight, people will die. On Wednesday night when I healed so many cancers, woman of the cancer of the breast and clear up under her arm and into the neck region of another, if I hadn't said the exact words, someone would have died. So the least I can have is a microphone. But then I spoke to the lad and I said, it's not your fault. Because love has to begin here. Because I said, I don't like this. I said a few words up here. Not curse words or anything that. I just said, I don't like what's happening up here. I said, I want these things prepared before I come. I don't like people disrupting the worship with pouring stuff or putting a microphone up. It should be done beforehand. But yet, I was reflecting in the presence of a little one, and he could feel all the guilt. And I said, it's not your fault, son. Love, our socialism begins in small ways. And everyone wants to attain to the big things. They want to talk about the glorious collective of Great New Day, but they want to walk over people. They want to push and shove. They don't want to share their car. They don't want to share their money. And you cannot get health until you share. You can't get life until you get the principle. God or socialism is a principle. The law of life in the Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death. But people, as long as they're selfish, like they are tonight, the offering will be pitiful. Holding on to their money, and they want me to heal them. But as long as you hold on and want to have a treasure above someone else, you are dying because you're living in the carnal mind. The enmity of against the principle, the capitalistic mind, the selfish mind, and that mind is enmity against God, our good. So principle is indeed a recipe, and we should learn that recipe. We should share our homes on Saturday nights when we're here every 2 weeks. It's a sin. People run out of here, they never share their home. And some of the faithful ones of you share your home till you have people on the floor and in your Davenport and everywhere. You've got them all over the house and you feed them. And so good you are. And others don't know a thing about it. And yet they come here tonight with their on the last leg and expect me to heal them. Why, I could no more heal them than a termite could heal them. Because you get what you give. What you give is what you're going to receive. And I think that's a good point that you started us with. Principle is a formula. It's a recipe. And you've got to start on that recipe every day. No matter how many times people do you harm, you have to be principled. No matter how much things may be wrong for you, you can't let a young lad feel, like in my case, that he was responsible for everything going wrong. Principle has to think of everything around you and all that's happening about you. And there have been a whole lot of things gone wrong for me today where selfish people have been inconsiderate. But that doesn't affect me, mustn't affect me in the gross product or in my output. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. You can't keep the thoughts out, but you can keep the words. Or if you let the word slip, you can bring the word back and make some amenity for it or make some reconciliation for it. But there are very few people that are saved. They talk about being born again. I haven't seen anybody born again in these Baptist or Pentecostal churches. They're not new creatures. He said, behold, I make all things new. You are new creatures in Christ. I've seen nothing new in the church. Why, they're the worst racists. They're the worst bigots. They're the most selfish. The preachers have the greatest wealth. They won't share anything. They don't adopt babies. I'm the only preacher in this town that I know that's adopted 8 children. They talk about being born again, but they're the same old devil they were when they were in the tavern. In fact, most of them were better when they were in the tavern. Ye must be born again, I hear. I've heard it said for years, you must be born again. Well, if you're born again, that makes you something new. You're a new creature. That's what the scriptures are, the parables say. You're a new creature. Well, if you've seen many new creatures in these churches, I'd like for you to point them to us so we could go and work with them. But I haven't found very many new because they don't have a recipe like you're talking about. They think that all they have to do is to put it in Jesus' hands and say a few little prayers on Sabbath or Sunday, and it'll take care of it. But Jesus said, if any man would come after me, take up your own cross. He didn't say anything about taking his cross or pleading the blood of his cross. He said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross. You can't take Jesus' cross, and Jesus can't work out your own salvation. It said each man and woman must work out their own plan of salvation in fear and trembling. That means it ought to be serious business because it requires fear and trembling.
But people say, Jesus saved me. Jesus can't save you. You must be saved by enduring to the end. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But I hear all that malarkey today. Jesus saved me. I sinned all day. I did this to my neighbor today. I was bad to those that worked with me on the job. I took advantage of someone today. I did a sinful, lustful thing today. But I asked Jesus and he forgave me. No, no, no. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. You sow it, you're going to reap it. You selfish, it's going to come home. If more people would see principle, as you've said it, as a formula or as a recipe, and get that recipe down not only just to the major sections, but as a cooking recipe, it gets down to just how much sugar and how much salt and how much spice and all those other things that makes it nice. Some folk just want to get a major recipe. They say, I got Jesus. Well, you better break down Jesus. You better take Jesus in all of his parts. There may be 4, 5, or 15 stages to the Christ life, and you better learn them all, because it isn't just enough to get Jesus and swallow him on Sunday and think you'll spit him out on Monday. Good point, darling. Yes, someone here?
I stay at home a lot and I lay down and I think about your teaching. I talk to Nina. I try to get her to have an understanding.
Talk to whom?
Nina, my little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I tell her, she asked me a question the other day. She says, Mama, said, oh God, that what we used to know, what we were taught, said, he's dead. Said, now we have a God living here on the earth. And said, we've been taught so long.
Mm-hmm.
We never had an understanding like we have now.
Let me pause for a moment. There never was a God anyplace else but on earth. Never was any other place.
That's what she was talking about. She says, I want to know that. Mm-hmm. I said, the honest God we get, the honest God that I ever know, he's on the earth now.
He always was.
And she said, who is it? I said, his name is Jim Jones. I said, he's the only one that's been on this earth to teach us the right thing, to teach us the way to go.
Yeah, now you see, I wanted to question, love. You throwed us way out here into the 99th parallel of understanding. Remember, I've always said, let your life so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father. Now, you've projected that Jim Jones is God, and you've got a whole lot of folk out there that don't know which ends up. Now, you meant well, and you've got a tremendous faith. You're beautiful in your faith. It's remarkable in your faith. This woman was in the paralysis where she couldn't move her arm. The temperature mechanism of her brain was destroyed, and I sent the word and healed her when her temperature was way out of control, up in 107, 108. So she got great faith. But make the parable a little bit a little more difficult. The treasure is hid in earthen vessels, and don't cast it easily out. Don't throw a pearl of great price out too easily. Let people find it. If they don't find it on their own, it won't mean anything. It'll turn them away. But you hold fast to that which is good. You know, the thing that helps you, you stand by it. The thing that she mentions that I now have to elaborate, we speak of God in me in the hundredfold. In the scripture it speaks, there's hundredfold, 30-fold, and 60-fold. Well, that means 60% of the principle, 30% of the principle are 100% foolproof, 100% pure. Your Bible tells you that in the last day there will be 100-fold manifestation of God. That means 100% God. Well, I'm in the hundredfold. It's 100% dedicated, completely committed, completely sacrificed to the will. I will never let anything, not let the sun set on my wrath. I will not let the sun set on anything done ill to anyone. I will not let mortality survive. I crucify it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the revolution of the Christ of the anointing lives in me. That's what we mean by the hundredfold. Yes, I wanted no one else to stand. But she's up, so let her speak.
I wanted to say something. You know, I tell you, Father, I love you. Mm. And I love you as my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't trying to serve no other one but you.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been kind of mixed up in a way sometime.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it's like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime when I go up, they said, don't say Jim, don't say God, don't say Jesus. Sometimes you get mixed up, you don't have to know what to say. But I believe in...
Who's told you not to say? When did
well,
that...
Well, that was a good while, you know, and I got out...
Some time ago, yeah,
some time ago.
Not presently.
Well, not presently, because I stopped him from it. I told him, don't tell me what to say.
Mm-hmm. Then you have no problem, do you?
Because I tell you, I've been trying to serve God ever since I was knee-high to a duck. And I know God has heard me a many times. When I was lame, it was inflammation at the bowels, and my intestine was rotting down, and it was sitting looking for me to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I know God always had a body. I always did believe God had a body. Because how could Moses talk to him face to face if he didn't have a body? How come the other prophets could talk to him face to face if he didn't have a body?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always give God a body. And I know, I love you. I know good and well, if you turn to the other side and leave me blacks alone, we wouldn't have a chance. Sometimes that's like it is. But the gift that he have and the work that he do, if he turned to the other side, we wouldn't have a chance, children. No, we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I can praise him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what he is. And I tell you, children, sometimes I have to weep. Sometimes I cry. I think about how Jeremiah weep for Israel. Yes. He cried so that God told him to don't weep for them people. Because they were the foolish people. A nation did not understand. They didn't understand.
Yes.
And these people don't understand.
No, they don't.
They don't know what they got.
They don't know what they got.
If they only know what they had tonight, they'd all be running here.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, Kevin. Tell it like it is. I'm telling it just like it is, Sharon. Because he's worthy to be praised. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Because I was in the peace mission. And I got good healing over there. Yes, I did. And I don't take it back. But as he said, if one would come after him, well, would be more stronger than he was. Father Vine said that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he come in this body stronger and doing greater work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Truth, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope within myself here the black people will wake up.
Yes, indeed.
I hope it is.
Yes, indeed.
As far as me, I hold back nothing. I do all that best I can. I don't want to go on the bus without I pay. And if I don't have it right then, I sure give it time that other little money come in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go with to down to L.A. tonight. I ain't been down there in a good little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have it all, but I'm going to give it anyhow. I'm going to pay it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
When the other come. But children, you better wake up. Because we'll be left out if we don't wake up.
It's true.
So the master Peter's here now to lead us on. Oh, yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a savior now. Come in the name of Jim Jones.
Oh, yes. So that's why that song come to me about not a man in the world like Jim Jones. Mm-hmm. No, it ain't.
No, there isn't.
Ain't there nothing like him? No, it ain't. There's wonderful children. And we have a sweet mother. Yes, we do. I'll tell it just like it is.
True.
Mother mine is all right, but she wasn't like mother. Mm-hmm. Because she had some prejudice in her. And mm-hmm. I couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, I'm telling just like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Last week when father took his body out, I took mine away. Yeah, because I wasn't going to be bothered. I tell you, I like love. I like love, children. I might fall out with you, and I might tell you the truth, but I love you just the same. Because I can't hold nothing in me. Because I tell you, hate will kill you, children. It ain't no good. It'll tear you down. You got to love. And you got to forgive. Regardless of what anybody do to you, you have to forgive them.
It's true.
So I thank y'all. Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. For letting me have these words to say. But wake up, people. Wake up, black folks. And come on. And let's trample on the hind Jim Jones.
How many are new to this assembly tonight? How many are new people here? New to the assembly tonight? Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you. Would you stand? We'd like to welcome you. Each can know you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Now, I'm certain that some that are new might have questions after hearing various renditions of that which works for people. People can only speak from what works for them. And as you think in your mind, so are you. If in your mind you think you behold God, then you behold God. If in your mind you think you just see an ordinary man, then you'll see an ordinary man. Ordinary men cannot do the things that are happening in this room, the things that have happened this week. You can cause growth to be spit up before our eyes, or the blind to see as last weekend. Ordinary man can't do that. The weekend and the last, we were in Los Angeles, 7 people walk out of wheelchairs. Man cannot do that. We're glad for you to be here and recognize just ordinary man, but you limit what can happen to you. Because as you think, so are you. This woman has come many a year, because we don't see age here, but she's come down. So are you. This woman has come many a year, because we don't see age here, but she's come down through many generations, visualizing, overtly at least, God in a body. And if you think that way, you'll see that way. The different ones that stand, would you stand again and express your name and what church you're from? We've never done this before. I think it would be very good. If there is no church, state so. Again, start over here. State over here.
My name is Cunningham, and I come from the Second Union Baptist Church.
Thank you, brother. We're
and
happy to have you.
I tell you, I've seen something that nobody's seen. In here. Nobody's never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised. All of them would be surprised. You remember when you said, I know something? I was here a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I seen, nobody else didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just me.
Well, that's, hold on to it. What works for you and what's good for you,
that's right.
Maybe it was meant for you only. I'm so happy to have you tonight.
I'm pretty sure
thank
it was.
You. Thank you.
Thelma Levels is my name, and I have been visiting here ever since last year, but something happened. I had to stop coming, but Revelation have called me here last year,
mm-hmm.
and Revelation have called my daughter here last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the cripple come in here on crutches, and they walked out and left the crutches behind, super near.
Yes.
And I've come in here with a terrible backache. My kidneys was just so badly. And Pastor Jim Jones, Revelation called me. He put his hands on me. And I've been home, and I worked steady for around about 3 weeks, 3 months. And after that 3 months happened, I quit coming in the meeting. Well, my back started back hurting again. But I do believe, I'm a great believer, and mm-hmm. my faith is Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Just where you're from and your church, if you would. We appreciate having each of you. We'd like to be able to give equal time to each one. This is something we've never done. We have acknowledgement for our guests, but we don't ever ask you to say where you're from or your name.
My name is Lodwatha Thomas, and these are my two daughters. Both, all three of us is members of Macedonia Baptist Church down on Sutter Street.
We're so happy to have you.
But I would like to make a statement. I came here, this is my second time visit the church here, but I came here, I guess, about, you come every 2 weeks, so this fall will be about, say, a half a month ago. And I don't know why I came at that time. I was very depressed, very stressed. And then tonight, I still can't say why I'm here. I think I have to say what's on my mind, because my husband and I had an argument about whether we should come or not. And the only thing I can say, we are here. And the only thing I can say is that...
Let's hear what she said before she finishes.
We are here.
Yes.
I'm very frightened, and all I can ask is that pray for me, because we are here.
Bless you. Well, not only that, we'll be glad to. There should be, council should be alert to see the need of someone who speaks that way, and then to talk thereafter, after the meeting, to offer our prayers in a concrete way with putting legs on them. Peace, I don't see that it is done, and I wish to see that it is done. Thank you. Very well. Next, dear brother. Wouldn't have anyone sit down, though, because if we asked all to stand, we would want each one to speak their name in their church.
Yeah, my name is John Williams. I've been, well, I came into the church about 4 years ago. I went through the Teen Challenge Ministry here in the city over on South Furness. Then I went to, then I kind of backslid, see, in the world, yeah, I blew it on drugs, mind drugs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got saved, I was in Teen Challenge Ministry for eight months, but I kind of, I went into a mental hospital again, and it was 2 years just wasted, you know, just taking, you know, drugs and stuff, not medication drugs. And then I was in Berkeley, and I don't know, it just seemed like God was calling me back. And so I got on the phone. I prayed for about a week. I went to Living Word Temple. I went back up to Teen Challenge. I've been going to around churches, Catholic churches. Right now, I'm having a Bible study with a brother over on 18th Street. I'm doing a little bit of street witnessing. And I've been listening to you on the radio. It's really been beautiful, really been blessing me, man. Pray for my church. You know, they need a new understanding, because I realize that the natural mind can only go so far in understanding. And it's just by God's grace that He has given me the understanding. Sure. I do.
Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you. The last point of where you've been, we appreciate Rick talked to him afterwards. That showed a great deal of understanding when he said the natural mind can only go so far. And this is what I want my people that are members of the temple to see. The cross-section of people, how careful you must be when you speak. Amen. People are in different planes of consciousness. We have beautiful people here from Baptist, a sister Pentecostal that was healed. She saw people come off of crutches, and that touched her, and her own kidney condition healed by me. But word, ill-advisedly spoken, can drive people away. Unless you're a prophet, leave the prophetic preaching to the preacher that is a prophet.
J.B. Robinson is my name, and this is my third visit here. I don't have a church home as of now, but I've been out of church ever since about 6 years ago, maybe seven. Mm-hmm. So everything I've seen since I've been here, I enjoy it.
Bless you.
I enjoy coming here.
We'll be so happy if many of you will come up to Redwood Valley and see our lovely children's homes, our senior citizens' homes, and convalescent homes, and the acres we have to provide with our people food and shelter in the time of need. It would be wonderful for you to get up at your earliest convenience. You'll see how the church, as it was required to be, we were demanded that we take care of the household of the faith. That's what the church was demanded that it had to do, to take care of the household of faith. We not only take care of the household of the faith, but hundreds and thousands of other people. Yes, thank you.
This is Willie Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
My church home was a Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading the letter to the letter killeth.
The letter killeth, that's the...
And it brought my footsteps to this church for membership. I'm
beautiful.
Glad that I was accepted as a member, and I want you to know...
Bless you.
...that I feel blessed to be in a family like this.
But you see, now that's wonderful. How wonderful that man is in Pentecost... But he got the letter killeth, but you would not have gotten the letter killeth if the Spirit hadn't led me, because the letter killeth is not made available week after week, month after month. It's not made available, but when you came, it was made available. See, because something in me knows when to make it available. Thank you. We're proud to have you. We are proud to have someone who is youthful in heart, who's not bogged down in their traditions.
Good evening. My name is Isaac De La Rosa, Pentecostal, and I must say I've been out of church for many years, and I visit a lot of Baptist church, but here, this is my second visit, and it's just beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, son. You have a sweet spirit.
See someone teasing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Nathaniel Winston, and I've been here about three times.
Yes. Three times? You've been here three times?
That's it. I'm now stationed at Travis Air Force Base, and I came up during the weekend to visit my parents, and I came here and I saw my sister, and she was my sister in the choir, and she suggested I come back, and I'm back, and I'm I think I'll continue to come.
Thank you. Note these are special tonight, each one. John assigned some to each one to make them feel very welcome at the end. Very special attitude. And you should connote the spirit of humility that's in people. Be able to recognize it. Those have an open heart and sweet spirit. That's what we want, is more of that sweet, loving spirit. God is love. That's all I've ever heard God call love. Yes.
My name is Edna Holman, and I go to St. Teresa's Catholic Church.
Fine.
Can I say one more thing, please?
Surely. You would have to be able to say it, because everyone else has. So we believe in that God is no respecter of persons. So if people, the first one said more than what I maybe had suggested, everyone would have to have that right to do so, because equality is the nature of God, our principle.
Well, this is my first time being here.
We're so happy to have you.
I heard so many wonderful things about you and what you've been doing, so I decided to come see for myself, and I hope to be coming back. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't want anyone missed tonight. I don't want anyone missed, because these precious people. These are precious people speaking.
My name is Carol Myers, and I'm not from any church.
Yes. Not now. Right there.
Yes, all right.
My name is Carol Myers, and I'm not from any church.
What did you say?
I don't belong to any church.
Well, that's nothing against you. That might be in your favor. We're happy to have you, very much.
My name is Valerie Friedman. I came with a friend.
Thank you.
My name is Ken Bavaris. I'm from Mountain View. I don't attend any church.
Thank you. We're happy to have you, sir.
My name is Booker T. Nash, and I'm not a member of any church at the present time. I've enjoyed myself very much.
Thank you. You've got a good name, Booker. We're so happy to have you.
I am Reverend Alice Ransom from 1488 14th Street, Oakland, Mount Zion Spiritual Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in Pastor Jim Jones. I know work because I'm from a spiritual church. So I know what spirit does. And I bought one of his pictures when I was here last, and I said, well, it says a blessing. I'm going to put it in my purse. So I went, and my grandson called me. He had a little baby born. It was 9 months, but it didn't weigh but 4 pounds and 14 ounces, and they had to put it in the incubator. So the baby lost all its ounces, and it was so a week in body, the baby wouldn't eat. He stopped eating. And he called me and said, Mother, said my baby is failing. So I want to ask you to pray for it. So I and another lady minister, we went there Sunday. And I went in, I told the nurse my purpose of coming there.
Mm-hmm.
And I taken Jim Jones' picture out, and I told her, I didn't want her to be in any doubt. And I said, if prayer doesn't help the baby, it certainly won't do it any harm. She said, just pray on. So we prayed for the baby, and 4 days the baby gained 7 ounces. We kept Jim Jones' picture before our face. And believer and not a learning. I know the Lord God does nothing but reveal his secret unto his servant, the prophet.
That's what
he
said.
And I know that he is here doing the work of God. And
amen. She said a great truth there. It was said once that God did nothing that he did not first reveal to his servants, the prophets. So that's a very good point. We are so happy to have all of you. Stretch yourself and give each one another good salute of love and embrace. Some people don't understand when we say we serve God. God is logos, or the word, and the word in the Greek means mind. And the mind, when it's made flesh and dwells amongst you, it discerns the thoughts and knows the intents of the heart. It's quick and powerful. It separates soul from spirit, or body from spirit. And if it can separate them, it can reunite them. And we have seen that 460 some times this year, people have been dead, brought to us in our meetings, and they've been resurrected. We've seen, as our sister said, who's new, the Pentecostal sister said, the crutches have been dropped. We've seen the blind eyes opened host of times. We've seen bones straightened, casts thrown away. Right here, right in the service, there's one down there, Sister Janie, I remember. She's one of them. Cut off right then, and the bone healed right then after she'd been to the hospital the same day or within hours. So we know that the word, or the logos of the mind, is powerful. Yeah.
If you don't understand why we're here, that's not important. The fact is that we are here, and that mind is a real force. Today, you perhaps heard in the news of the Menninger Institute going to go over to India to study a yogi who's able to stop his heart for 17 beats. That's public news. They want to study what faculty he has to do this. That he can stop his heart. And he can stop the whole side. The left side, he can stretch one part of the heart's arterial system. The right arm, he can stretch that and cause the blood to flow into the right arm, and the left arm will become just gray like death. There are those yogi that they have studied that are able to stay in a confined place, a casket, for days. Slow down their breathing imperceptibly to almost just a breath an hour, which would be equated to a breath an hour. Now, that seems most impossible, but they can stay in the ground because they've learned to put the mind in proper control over the body. So if you don't recognize anything but socialism, then you recognize mind. People, by staying their mind on the God or the Christ or the Spirit, as our dear sister the minister said, the Spirit is love. The love that is in me, by people orientating or focusing upon that, we've had no death. No death. No accidents where anyone's been taken by death. No death in our family, the Mother Church, for years. No death. Now that's what the mind has been able to attain. So if I was nothing else but a mind elevator in your mind, you better keep me. Because this sister spoke of the picture, and 38,000 times since those pictures were prepared by revelation. What, a couple of years ago? 38,000 times that we've had documentation, reports that we could verify. 38,000 times we've had everything from fires put out to cars raised back, as our sister did there, that raised back in the lake and came all with all of her children holding onto the picture. And the car floated like a balloon back to the beach, back to the shore. And then when they all stepped out, five of the children and her, I think they were, then the car went back down. Miracles. And just like this woman taking a picture, putting in the hospital, saying a word, people would come out of every kind of known disease. One with cancer, I remember that young woman with cancer, and that sister with cancer was there last week. Her hair was completely gone. You'll see her tomorrow. All gone. Cancer had eat up her brain. But it wasn't a picture then alone. I sent the brother and he clasped her hand three times, Brother Brown, as I told him. And the growth, the doctor said, ate itself up. You that go on with us tomorrow, you'll see her. She's a beautiful woman. Her hair is all gone where radiation, chemotherapy, and all the things that man try and should try, we should use medicine, but it couldn't reach it. But the power that's in this state of consciousness, or in this ordained place in God, whichever vernacular you choose to use, this point of contact was able to make that kind of a miracle. And it's been so many times, you'll be looking at pictures later. They're going to put them on the walls, and the walls won't contain them all. The walls won't contain the pictures of people who were not just healed of a toe ache or a broken ankle, but I mean where they were in wheelchairs like Sister Carpenter for 10 long years, Sister White for 5 long years, never taking a step. It's important to believe in mind control. If you have trouble with the universe, you know that mind has evolved to the point where it can do great miracles. Tonight, with the proper suggestion, Dr. Leslie B. Weatherhead, who is a scientist, a great Methodist in his background, to hypnosis, which we don't use. We don't believe in hypnosis. It's not lasting enough. But he would say that an ordinary pencil
to a person in a hypnotic state, he would say that that pencil was a hot poker, and where it would touch the skin, they had to stop it. There would be scar tissue form that never went away. The power of mind. Now tonight, if you think positively through the emphasis of a positive aura to one who has that positivism metabolized to such a degree that it's a part of their very being like it is mine, it can stir up a creativity in you that will save you from things that everyone else in the whole human race will have to undergo. And statistically, your record will be better than anybody else's if you think positively. If you think positively and unselfishly, then you come to the nature of God. You come to the sweet Garden of Eden. You come to the holiness of an advanced utopia. Without love, you just have a positive experience, and that's good. But with love, or with apostolic socialism as they had it on the day of Pentecost, combining the power of mind with that, you have peace of mind and power. It's an ennobling experience. Think now, if a man can tell someone that this little pin is a hot torch or a hot stove poker and can scar this tissue, how much more if you would listen to one who is in the hundredfold realm of knowledge, our God? How much more if you would listen to me when I tell you to the cancers, as they did on Wednesday night, wither up? And they did. Withered up and pulled back and passed away. Or to the man that had been operated how many times in his back, and it all was remedied. And not only the back, but the shoulders too. Every other pain was taken away. That was Wednesday night. How much could you gain if you would listen? You don't have to take a credulous, supernatural, superstitious point of view. Science is telling you these things now. In socialist countries today, they're spending $1 million on mind control a day. Minds will concentrate on an object and move it. That's what they're doing in places that don't believe in God. They know more about mind control than people that say they know about God. They can take an object and move it. Now, we've seen such happen. But the most important thing, not to move an object out there that has no meaning, we better use that mind control. If the Soviets then have seen mind control to that degree, they ought to let some healers work. And they're now beginning to do so, to project that mind on a growth and move it out of the system. So I can do it without you. Well, maybe you can. If you can, if you've got as good a record as I have, then you don't need to come back here. But unless you've seen no one die in your mother church for over a 10-year period, it's kept the teachings since 1959, I'd stick around here and use your mind control with the center control that I have, and all of our minds together will bring a revolution.